be the super moon, or it's otherwise AKA the Hunter's Moon. Tell us a little bit more about that.
Yeah, well, there are going to be, or have been so far, three of four super moons this year. A super moon is simply when the moon is full and it's at its closest to the Earth. So that can make it 30% brighter than when it has furthest from the Earth. I did notice last week, I felt my eyes were paining me looking at the moon. It was that bright. So it definitely was brighter than normal. Whether it was the 30% or some other effect making me think it was that bright, that's another thing. But the important thing is that we wanted everyone to see the moon. A full moon is a fantastic sight. A supermoon is even rarer, even though there's four of them this year, and that was the third and closest, biggest, and brightest of the four. There'll be another one in the middle of November.
Okay.
And there can be between two and five every year of these supermoons.
Right.
So loads of people sent in photographs that we'll publish the best of in our magazine. If you've got some snaps you haven't sent them in, go to the website, you'll see the contact us section there, show you where to send your pictures to the magazine. In fact, you take anything interesting in the night sky any time of the month, do send them into Astronomy Island magazine. Not only will it be published for thousands of people to see, but the magazine is archived in the National Library of Ireland for all time. I mean, we don't know how long the internet is going to last. Remember, things like Facebook and Instagram, they're privately owned. The companies are probably not going to go bust in the near future. But what if they did? All those photos gone forever.
Absolutely, absolutely. That's a very, very good point you raise. Now, just to explain to us, in, I suppose, as layman's language, we're trying to get people interested in astronomy. How do these supermoons come about? What causes them, four of them a year or whatever?
Well, the moon goes around the Earth in almost a perfect circle, but it's a little bit squashed, so it's egg-shaped. And we're closer to one end of this oval, if you like, than the other. So the full moon doesn't have to happen when the moon is closest to the Earth, but it will occasionally. The two cycle around. We let the computers work it all out these days, and they just come up with the time when the moon is closest to the Earth and full. And it tends to happen in seasons. So the four that we have are four in a row, the four full moons in a row. So we had this one in October, we had one in September and one in August. So August, September, October, November, they were the full moons that were closest to Earth. So they're called supermoons. It's a popular term. It's nothing particularly special. Super is probably overhyping it a little bit. It should be a little bit better than normal moon, but that doesn't have the same ring to it. So we're only talking about a one part in seven extra closeness of the moon to the Earth. But that does result in about a 30% increase in brightness than when the moon's at its furthest from the Earth and full. So, you know, if you're going to see the best moon, brightest moon ever, then the one last Thursday was it. You know, it'll be one or 2% better if you watch supermoons in other years. You definitely wouldn't notice that difference. So if you saw the moon last Thursday night, then you saw the brightest moon you're probably ever going to see in your lifetime. And same with any other supermoon that's going to happen next year as well.
Okay.
So people seem to love looking at them, and anything that gets people looking up at the sky is okay in our book.
Now, David, Jupiter last night was blazing below the moon. Tell us more.
Yeah, in fact, it was Sunday night, if I remember correctly. They were actually at their closest. And this is what we do in Astronomy Island magazine every month. I mean, it's aimed at people with the naked eye, kids, normal members of the public, not scientists. And so if you don't know which star-like object in the sky is the planet Jupiter or the planet Saturn, the moon is a fantastic signpost. And we had Storm Ashley crossing the country during the day and evening. But I knew as soon as it was gone that there would be beautifully clear skies afterwards. And sure enough, before midnight, there were breaks in the clouds. And there was the moon, not quite a supermoon, a few days after that, but still very bright, with this brilliant star-like object just below it. That was Jupiter. That was predicted in Astronomy Ireland magazine. And that was the naked eye highlight of the month. I mean, there are naked eye comets around, massive auroras. But this was brighter than all of those put together. So we really wanted people to see it and to stay up after the storm. A few people have sent in pictures. They got to see it from around the country as well. And the great thing about being a national organization is, you know, it's clear on the east and west coast. It could be cloudy on the east coast. So even if we don't see it, somebody in the country will. And we can publish their photographs. We've got a whole island for people to watch from. So don't worry if you missed that last Sunday. The moon will be near Jupiter again next month in November, and the November issue of the magazine will tell you the exact date to go out and watch. And there's even a little diagram in the magazine showing what you'll see with the naked eye. There's the moon, just below it, this object, 10 times brighter than the brightest star in the sky. That's Jupiter. And not so difficult with Jupiter to pick out which one it is. It's the brightest thing in the night sky. It looks like a star. Saturn, on the other hand, that's about it, only as bright as the top 10 stars. How do you know you're looking at a bright star or Saturn? Well, when the moon's near it is the answer, and that'll happen again next month as well. So these are great signposts for getting beginners interested. And sometimes they pass extremely close together. I've seen Saturn the last few months so close to the moon that you could see the rings of Saturn in a telescope with the craters of the moon right next to it. And very, very rarely the moon will actually pass in front of the planets. Now, it didn't do that this month. It just passed close. And that's what we'll tell you all about, and the times to see it from Ireland, because there are guides on the internet. We're a relatively small country. There aren't that many guides I'm aware of for Ireland at all, except Astronomy Ireland magazine. So, you know, I'm a bit biased because I write the What to See notes in the magazine every month. But I tell people, when the magazine drops through your letterbox, jump to page 22. There's a highlights box there, and we'll just list very quickly what the highlights are. Is there an eclipse? Is Jupiter going to be near the moon? Is there a bright comet? Whatever the main things you're going to see. You can read the rest of the magazine later on, but at least you'll be clued in less than 1 minute as to what the highlights of next month are going to be.
Now, David, I'm not going to even attempt to pronounce this Chinese name of this comet, which is, there are so many are calling it the comet of the century. We're going to refer to it as Comet T-A. What is it? And when are we going to know about it?
Well, it's a comet visible to the naked eye. I tried to see it last night, got nothing but clouds for my trouble. But I saw one report from a chap in Spain who sent a lovely picture, and he also said he could see it with the naked eye quite easily because it's much higher up than it was last week. When I saw it with the naked eye from Ireland, very obvious, so did lots of people because we got loads of pictures in, just taken even with camera phones. You got this lovely long-tailed comet. And that's what we're hoping to see tonight and over the next week, because now the moon has gone out of the evening sky and you can see the comet in a dark sky. So you want to wait until the sky gets dark. We're talking about 7:30, 8 o'clock. The twilight should be gone by then. And hopefully, looking over in the west, if you don't know your compass directions, west is where the sun goes down. So wherever the sun goes down from your house, look in that direction, and hopefully you see this faint, hazy patch with a long, thin, faint tail coming out of it, especially if you live away from streetlights in the countryside rather than the cities. Or get out to the countryside and watch. If you've got a 25-quid pair of binoculars, you'll get an even better view with them. If you've got a camera phone, camera phones can take pictures for about 10 seconds in night mode, and that collects more light than your eye will, and the pictures actually look better than the sight with the naked eye. So we're hoping to see with the naked eye, with the camera phone, with binoculars. You certainly actually don't need a telescope for this thing because it's so big. If people know the length of the plow, the tail is nearly that long, at least half the length of the plow. So that's roughly your fingers spread out at arm's length, long tail. That's what I saw last week. I think it was Tuesday night. I saw that. I had lots of clouds and the supermoon brightening up the sky for the rest of the week. But I did get a few photographs of it on other nights, mainly through breaks in the cloud, which is the typical Irish story. They're always battling the clouds around anything else. And it's extremely rare to have a naked eye comet. So enjoy that for the next week.
And David, just for people who might think they might be interested in astronomy, that's a really good point that you raise, in the sense that some of these things can be seen with the naked eye. Some of them can be seen with a 25 euro pair of binoculars. These are the things to start out with. And then if it's something that really grabs you, well, then it's time to move to that, the next step, which is a telescope, isn't it?
Yeah, the last time we did a survey of members of Astronomy Ireland, there are thousands of them across Ireland, 1 in 10 had a telescope. About half had a pair of binoculars. If you should have a pair of binoculars for everything else, bird spotting, landscape viewing, looking out to sea, everything, they're just ordinary binoculars. There's nothing special about astronomy binoculars. It's just they're two small telescopes, fixed magnification, strapped side to side, and they mass produce those to get the cost way down. 25 quid these days gets you a really good pair. Try and get a 10x50 binocular or 7x50 if you see them in the shops. And, you know, you can spend hundreds on them if you want, but the ones for 25 quid are nearly as good. That's the big secret in astronomy. The first telescope you should get is a binocular telescope. If you get into the top 10% of astronomy, on contact us then. We'll give you loads of advice on what telescopes to go for. But mainly in the magazine, Astronomy On, we feature naked eye and maybe binoculars. You usually always get a better view in the binoculars anyway. And like I say, every house should certainly have a pair of binoculars. But the naked eye is all you need for the comet, for the big shooting star shower that's coming in December, and lots of other things as well.
Now, David, there's a couple of planets on view at the moment.
Mm. Yeah, so we've talked about Jupiter. It's near the moon in the sky. It's up by 9 o'clock. So tonight you go at 9 o'clock, look over in the east. That's the opposite direction to where the sun rises. Sunset. So where the sun rises from your house, look over in that direction. It's a brilliant star, in quotes. About 10 times brighter than the brightest star you'll see overhead. That's Jupiter. If you have those binoculars, you can actually see its moons as tiny stars really close in. Well, it's just as a brilliant spectacle to the naked eye. It was near the moon last Sunday, so you have to wait till next month for it to do that again. And there's a full guide to seeing it and other interesting things about it, especially for people who do have a telescope in the magazine if you want to follow it that far. And that's Jupiter, easiest one to see. If you look in the south as soon as it gets dark, so while you're out watching the comet, there's a bright star in the south. Now, there's several bright stars in the south, but one of them is Saturn. And if you've got a telescope, it's an incredible view. You've got a globe, its rings going around it. They're nearly edge-on, which they haven't been for 15 years. We had a big event in the Wicklow Mountains in August to show people this. They all got spectacular views of the rings of Saturn when they're nearly edge-on. And it'll be there for the next few months, just like Jupiter will be. And if you like waiting up till 11 o'clock, you can see Mars rising over in the east. And Mars is going to do something special this week, or this month, and that's it's going to pass near the moon.
So, okay.
And Mars is visible to naked eye. So if you go out on Wednesday night, tomorrow night, you'll see, you look at the moon, you'll see just to the right of it is a star-like object, fairly bright star-like object, and that's the planet Mars. And you'll also notice there's two other stars just to its upper left. They're the stars of Gemini, Castor and Pollux. And Mars is over the next few weeks, next few days, it's going to move, so it makes a perfect straight line with those two stars. It should be quite eye-catching after the moon has gone tonight. It'll actually be in a perfect straight line on Tuesday night. You have to wait till after 11 o'clock to see Mars, so maybe not one for the kids when they've got school the next morning, but keep them up late one night when they don't have school, if it's clear, and show them Mars lining up with Castor and Pollux, and the moon tomorrow night.
Okay, and then of course, remember the clocks go back on Saturday night, Sunday morning, and you can also see the International Space Station. If you get up at dawn, you can see the ISS with the 11 astronauts on board flying over Ireland. Now, before we've only about less than a minute, David, for people who want to join Astronomy Ireland, just tell us what's available to them, what's available and packages are available.
Well, if you go to our website, astronomy.ie, everything starts there. First of all, for free, go to our social media, Facebook, Instagram, X, Twitter, and we'll give daily updates on that as the main highlights what to see. If you can afford €1 a week, that's what it costs to be a member of Astronomy Ireland, we'll post you the magazine every month, packed full of stories, all those predictions of things to see, lots of photographs people have been sending in, and we email you every week a reminder and everything new. So you'll be totally in touch for €1 a week, because most of the work is done by volunteers.
And you can also buy a membership certificate then if you want to give someone a gift for that season that we can't talk about yet.
Very popular, yeah.
Yeah.
So. And you can also go to our evening classes that start tonight. In fact, in about 1 hour they'll be beginning. You can sign up online now. And if you miss it, doesn't matter. They're recorded so you can watch it back later on. They run for the next 8 weeks, and they're aimed specifically at beginners. Astronomy for beginners, the secret's in the name. And again, details are on astronomy.ie.
Okay, we'll leave it there. David Moore of Astronomy Ireland, thank you for joining me, and we'll be back with you on the next day, on a Tuesday, on Kilkenny Today. That brings us to the end of Stephen's programme today.